song that Gail just sang reminded us about prayer and how that God can be touched through faith of His children, and how that God can be, I guess I can use this word, you not misunderstand, God can be affected by our prayer. The Bible says, you have not because you ask not, which means if we don't ask, we don't get. If we do ask something according to His will in faith, and we're on praying ground, by that I mean right enough with Him to where He'll hear our prayers, that request will be granted. So He is touched and He has moved. But tonight I want to sort of reverse that. In prayer, not only is God touched, but we are touched. I am touched. I want to try and deal with what I learn when I pray. What I learn when I pray. Jesus surely knew how to pray. It's amazing to me. God the Son stopped what He was doing to spend time with God the Father and to talk audibly with lips, with the heart. I mean, He was God, but He did that just to be honest, to communicate, but also as an example. And the disciples saw many things in the Lord, I'm sure that they would love to have had true in their own life to be able to reach others for Christ and for the gospel's sake as He did with the truth of Scripture. They would have loved to be able to do that. And all that He did, so many things, just the fact of being able to do good things. I know He was an example to them. And they longed to be able to do what He did. But they never asked, Lord, teach us how to do miracles or to do good things or even to witness or to preach. But they did ask at one time, teach us to pray. And we need to learn to pray, but I'm saying tonight that we can learn from prayer. There's some things we can learn. Let's look at these very familiar verses, beginning in verse 9. This sometimes is called the Lord's Prayer. It's inaccurate to say that, for this is the model prayer. He's teaching us how to pray. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The model prayer that Jesus uses to teach us how to pray. But from doing that, we learn. There's some things we learn from praying. I've learned as I prayed about the fact that I have a compassionate Father. Did you hear what He said? He started the prayer with this two words, Our Father. He started with the fact of us recognizing who God is. And as we pray, it will be more than just a fact. It will become a reality as we communicate with Him. As there is that connection, He is our Father. We learn by praying that we have a compassionate Father. He says, Our Father, did you notice? He did not do what most of us do, and I include myself. I try not to, but I find myself doing it anyway. We start our prayer by, Lord, please do this or do that or do the other. He does not. And when He was teaching us how to pray, here He says, no, in essence, He teaches us to not start by asking. One thing I've always been, I guess I appreciate in Brother Milton Taylor. I've heard him pray many times. I have never, ever heard him start by asking quickly. If you notice, he'll quiet himself and in his heart, getting the fact that he is in the presence of God before he ever utters a word. And he always addresses the God of heaven and talks of him as how great he is and mighty he is. And that's what prayer will do. We learn from prayer that we have a compassionate Father. That makes me think of relationship. He's our Father. I am related to Him because He birthed me into His family. And as we pray, again, there is that connection. There's that communion and recognizing He is my Father. I have a right to come. I can come to Him and know as a son to a father, He's hearing. There's communication. There's their communion. There's a relationship because we've been born into His family like you were born into your family. There, in this thing about our compassionate Father, there's not only a relationship involved, but a responsibility involved. As we pray, we see Him as a compassionate Father. Father who loves us. Father who cares about what we're going through. Father who is concerned and very much interested in what we're facing. And we not only have a relationship, we recognize that, but we recognize since He is my Father, He is responsible for me. He is responsible for me. I am His child. I belong to Him. And like any good parent, father or mother, but especially father, those children are His responsibility. In other words, as we pray, and of course as our prayers are answered, we learn He assumes the responsibility of taking care of me. He does not shirk. He does not avoid. He does not deny His children. He understands the responsibility of being the Father. When I think about this compassionate Father and the fact that I can learn who He is, I think also of this word, right. Notice what Jesus said. As He's teaching us how to pray, here's what He says, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. That word hallowed means holy, or right, or perfect or pure. And we understand and we will learn this. Here's what we're talking about. Learning as we pray. What can we learn by praying? We can learn we have a compassionate Father. And that compassionate is a Father is a hallowed or a holy Father. That means He's going to do the things the right way. Have you ever heard this term? She's got her daddy wrapped around her little finger. Or He's got His daddy under His control. Well, that'll never happen to our Heavenly Father. We do not wrap Him around our little finger. We do not control it. He does. He is right. He is holy. And that's what we learn as we pray. Sometimes we'll ask for things, to be honest, just not His will. You know what? He won't give them to us. And we learn by praying. There are times He'll do the right thing by saying, no. Or He'll do the right thing by saying, that's a good thing, but I can't give it to you because you're not right with me. He's a hallowed Father, a compassionate Father, a loving Father, but He does things right. He's the kind, He's going to do it the way it should be. He will not shirk His responsibility. He will not let it slide and say, well, you don't really deserve it, but I'll give it to you anyway. Now, sometimes in mercy He does that. You understand what I'm saying? But we learn by praying who our Father is. He's a compassionate Father. Notice what it says. Jesus is our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be Thy name, which art in heaven. Now, He's not just saying that God just happens to be in heaven. He's not suggesting that God has rented a place in heaven, that He just happens to be on the streets of gold and inside the ivory palaces of heaven. He is not saying that God has rented a place. He is saying which art in heaven means he doesn't just live there, he owns it. He owns everything. He is in heaven. He is controlling it all. He is the authority of heaven and earth. And that's what we learn while we're praying to him, that he is our Father, but he is altogether God, and he controls it all. Boy, I'll tell you what, when we learn that, it'll be easier to go to him. It'll be easier to load it off on him and give it to him and cast our cares on him, knowing he is the God of heaven and earth. He has all authority. He has all control. And he can do the right thing, and we'll do the right thing. I'm talking about what we learn when we pray. We learn we have a compassionate Father. On down in the prayer, I'll go ahead and kind of pick around at it tonight. In verse 11, it says, Jesus, still teaching them and us to pray, says, give us this day our daily bread. First time a request is even mentioned. First time a petition has ever even uttered. And it is worded like that, give us this day our daily bread. That makes me think about our compassionate Father in that he is rich. He is not only right, but he's rich. Jesus said when you go to him, you realize everything you need comes from him. Even the food you ate tonight, even the clothes you've got on your back, the bills that are due, that those finances don't just come from a job. Doesn't just come from your strength and ingenuity, but it comes from God. And as we pray, we are learning all good things, all things in general come from him. He's a compassionate Father who is rich. He possesses it all. He owns everything. He has an abundance. His stockpile is plentiful. It never runs out. It's inexhaustible. We could never ask God for the last thing that he has and says, boy, I tell you, I hope you don't want more because I don't have anything. His warehouse never runs out. I'm saying we will learn he can do whatever I need. Whatever I need. All to me is big, but it's not to God. He's a compassionate Father who owns it all. And I ask him, and you know what? He gives it. He provides it. He does it. And we learn from that. I can trust him. I can depend on him. He's my heavenly Father. He's my compassionate Father. Notice in verse 9, he says, our Father. Which tells us something very dramatic. Jesus did not say, my Father. He didn't even not even tell them or teach them to pray, your Father. He said, when you pray, say, our Father. Speaking of not only me and my needs, but us and our needs. Me and my relationship, but us and our relationship. That suggests to us that we're a part of a family. He says, you pray, say it like this, our Father. Could have said it like this, I am learning by praying that I have a compassionate Father. I am learning by praying that I have a close family. He said, when you pray, say our Father. We are not alone. We are not by ourselves. He cares, but somebody else cares also. There's something about a family. I went to the doctor today, the little nurse. I was just chatting with her, and I don't even know how it came up. She said she had a sister that was 15 years old, and I said, those teenage years are troublesome. And she said, We get along pretty good except for one thing. We fight about clothes all the time. She says, we're the same size and we fight about clothes all the time. But as she continued to speak about her sister who irritated her at times, I sensed something. She loved her sister. And I promise you, had somebody gone after her sister, had somebody hurt her sister who sometimes she got aggravated with, it was evident she would have stood up for her sister. Probably she would say, I'd be glad to die for my sister. Why? Because that's my family. And as we pray, we learn we've got a compassionate father. But we also learn we've got a close family. Sometimes when you go through trouble, and somebody says, I love you, I'm praying for you. And they ask you later on, how's it going? How about that need? Feeling better? Is the problem better? Did that person get saved? You know they care. You learn by praying. You're not alone. You have a close family. You're a part of the family. There's a family bond, and you don't mess with family. Now, I had one brother and a half-brother. And I'll be honest, and my half-brother I probably saw 5 times in my life, maybe. But my brother that we grew up with, boy, we bickered. But I'll tell you one thing. If anybody ever got after him or anybody got after me, they had trouble. They had both of us to deal with because there's that close family. And there was a family relationship because we had the same father. I'll tell you something. There's some folks sitting here tonight. We got the same father. We all in the same family. We belong together. We're different. Different as can be. We live in different places, have different desires and different tastes, different personalities, different goals in many ways, but we're the same family. And one thing you'll learn by praying is that there's people who really do care. And that there's people who really love you. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. It means orphans. He means you all will never go without a father, which means you all are a part of the family. Look at verse 13. One portion says, and lead us not into temptation. That tells me something. Part of what we're praying is a desire and even a request that the God who controls my life, controls my path and hopefully my thoughts and my direction, will not lead me in a way where I'll stumble. That tells me something. That tells me something I've learned and you have too. We're in a battle. This flesh and this world and the devil is against the things of God. And as we're praying, we learn that. Even as you communicate to the Lord, inside there's that sense. Maybe your mind wanders. Maybe you have a desire that God shows you is not correct. Maybe you have a request that's not pleasing to Him and He shows you. Oh, but here's my point. We are faced every day with a battle. And I am learning, and I hope we'll all learn as we pray, that we have a compassionate Father, that we have a close family, but we also have a constant fight. I don't know about you, but I guess I do. You're not that different than me. Every time I pray, it's a battle. Just praying, just getting down to pray. Last night, to be honest, I laid down, and I thought, man alive, I didn't even pray. And I want to tell you what, that bed felt so good. And I was sleepy and tired. I knew I had to get up early this morning. I had a busy day. And boy, it was so tempting to just lay there. And then I thought, no, I'm not going to do it. And I got up and began to pray. And the Lord reminded me something. Right before I laid down, I'd gotten up and checked my email. I got something for sale on eBay, and I checked to see how that's doing. And the Lord reminded me, you got up, checked the email, checked eBay, didn't think one time, it's late, better get to bed. But when you thought about praying, that's what you thought about, how tired you were. Even in the act of praying, we learn we're in a constant fight. It's a constant battle. And all through our prayer life, it'll be you're praying for something and it hasn't happened. And you're tempted to give up. And you think, forget it. There's a battle. You'll find me. Listen, there's a battle. The more we pray, the more we learn. There's a constant fight. There's a battle we go through. And that's why in verse 10 he said, Thy will be done on, or in earth as it is in heaven. And that is not some little cliche. Thy will be done. Everybody be happy. Everybody enjoy the Lord. That's not a cliche. That is a statement of fact. That is a statement of dedication. He is saying, when you pray, you say this, Thy will be done in my life. Why do we have to have that fierceness, that devotion? Because we've got to fight. There's a battle. And our flesh doesn't even want to pray, but our flesh surely doesn't want to battle the devil and all that's going on. And we learn as we're praying, it's a constant fight. Always. And we won't get away from it until we breathe our last. And that's a blessing. And it doesn't make you want to smile, but that's a fact. We don't get away from it. Look in verse 13. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. There's almost a soldier mentality of that last phrase, but deliver us from evil. And I thought about this. He is our Father, and He's compassionate, loving, caring, and giving, and selfless. He's good, but He's more than just a Father, but He's a friend. And that thought, deliver us from evil, has in my mind right now the idea of a friend who's close, a friend who stays by. It makes the fight a little bit easier when you know you got a friend with you. Two buddies sticking up together, heading to a fight, it's a little bit easier than just one. And especially when one of them has the strength of the universe in his disposal. And here's what I'm saying. We learn as we're praying that we have a compassionate Father and a close family and a constant fight. And also we have a concerned friend. Proverbs says this, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And see, not only is God the Father aiding us and helping us, but God the Son is our friend. And He helps us and walks with us and takes care of us. Remember what He said? I will not leave you comfortless. He says, I will go with thee. In one place He said, I shall be in you in the person of the Holy Spirit. So as we pray, we find out we've got a concerned friend that sticks with us. That verse in Proverbs there is a friend that sticketh closer. And a brother means to adhere to never leave your side as we're praying. And all that's involved with our prayer life, we'll learn, I'm not by myself. I'm reminded of Jonathan and his love for David, his friend. And Saul, Jonathan's daddy, was this time despising David. Wanted to do David harm. And Jonathan went to his dad on David's part and David's behalf. And here's what it says in 1 Samuel 19:4. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father and said unto him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against sin, because his works have been to thee were very good. Jonathan, on behalf of his friend, confronted his own daddy and said, David's done nothing but good to you, Daddy. Don't do bad to him. That's what a close friend is. And that's what we can learn as we pray, that we have a close friend that takes care of us. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, not just the good times, not just the bad times, not just the times that you do what they want you to do, but all times. And it continues, a brother is born for adversity or out of trouble, a good close friend comes. When you're facing trouble and somebody's there for you, that's what a friend is. Not like Judas, not like Absalom, not like Ahithophel, who claimed to be friends, but then when the time came that they needed a friend, they were gone, betraying them or worse. When we learn, when we go to the Father, when we pray, we learn we have a compassionate Father, a close family, a constant fight, a concerned friend. Verse 12 says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. When we pray, we learn that we have complete forgiveness. He said, forgive us our sins or our debts. And one thing that's marvelous about prayer is that you can go to the Lord and there's a clear conscience. It does not mean that we're perfect. It does not mean we've never done wrong. If we have done wrong, we've confessed it and He has forgiven. And being able, one thing I learn is I can approach Him with a clean heart, everything forgiven. I may have wronged Him yesterday, but I confessed it, and He forgave me. And I sense again His touch and His pleasure and His communion, and I learn from that. I have complete forgiveness. That I did is gone as far as He's concerned. Complete forgiveness. I learn it as I pray, and so should we all. Colossians 2:14 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. As I've said before, above the crucified criminal, there was a plaque that listed all the crimes. Boy, my plaque was long. And you know what? He wiped them all away. Every sin is gone. But hey, since I've been saved, can I say this and it be understood? I've added some lines. I've added some numbers. But He forgives. And it's gone. It's gone because Calvary paid the price. He would be wrong to hold it against us if we confess it and we repented that and we ask Him to forgive us. He said, I'll forgive you if we confess our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can go to Him with a clear conscience. Oh, sometimes I go and I feel guilty. And before I ever ask or even say, hey, I say, Lord, I'm sorry. But I'm glad there's forgiveness. And then I'll close. Verse 10, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I'm talking tonight about what we can learn while we're praying, as we pray. We can learn we've got a compassionate Father. He really cares. That communion, that relationship, that connection, a close family. He said, you're not by yourself. You're a part of a family. A constant fight. There's a battle. And you learn that more in prayer than anywhere else, probably. A concerned friend, not only the Father, but the Son, right there with you, helping you. A complete forgiveness. Every sin we've confessed is gone. But then also I can learn I have a confident future. He said, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. He looks toward the future. And He looks toward a kingdom that He knows is coming. And He says, when you pray, you look toward the future. You look to what's ahead. For us, we can analyze that and say, look on to heaven. One day it's going to be over. One day the battle's going to be through. One day this trouble is going to be gone. One day this pain will be gone. We can look ahead. We got a good future that we can be confident about. But He's saying, in essence, And you know that the God who's taking care of that future is taking care of your present. From here to there, he ain't going to let you down. He's got it settled. If you're saved, you're his, you're heading to heaven, and you're secure. But he's got you safe from here to there. Hey, we've got a confident future. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I have no idea. I got the word only life watching the news. I have no idea what the next alert's going to be. Don't know what the next phone call's going to be. Don't know what's going to be next in my life. There'll be trials, there'll be problems, there'll be burdens. But no matter what's ahead, I can learn through prayer to be confident, to trust him. We learn that as we're praying. I hope this made some sense. Let's stand together. Maybe you want to come tonight and just pray about something. You just mind the Lord. There may be somebody here tonight, just to be honest, you just have a burden on your heart.